Good morning, Thailand. My name is Alex, and I have some news updates from around the Land of Smiles for you today, this Friday, May 10th.
This ad is brought to you by CarZuno, the easiest way to lease a brand new car in Thailand.
We're going to get started with our first story, which is that an ex-narcotics chief's video advocating violence has caused a public outcry. Now, a video featuring Police Lieutenant General Rewat, the former head of the Narcotics Suppression Bureau, has sparked widespread public outrage after he was caught advising a teacher on how to have students assault comedian Udom Thapanich without leaving evidence that could lead to an arrest. His remarks appeared to endorse violence while revealing methods to evade police detection, drawing significant criticism. The conversation also included allegations of disrespect by Udom towards the monarchy, a sensitive issue in Thailand, further fueling the controversy. The incident has ignited debates on the ethics of law enforcement, freedom of expression, and the potential dangers of public figures advocating violence while navigating cultural and legal norms. This guy is causing quite a ruckus, this comedian who's just come out with his Netflix special. You guys can check it out. It's on Netflix anywhere you are in the world. It's a Netflix special, so it should be on your feed. And it'll give you some insights into what is going on. This guy has kicked up a big fuss here in Thailand from all sorts of parts of society. So everyone's talking about it. Everyone's buzzing about it. And yeah, of course, advocating violence against an artist is typically a no-no. That's not a good thing, man, especially since we're talking about freedom of expression. However, in Thailand, there are limits to that freedom of expression, of course, in the form of the Lese Majeste Law, or Section 112. So if you want to see for yourself, you're going to go happen to check out his Netflix special, see with your own eyes. All right, on to our next story. This is a pretty audacious one. Now, a man was caught smuggling about 60 million baht worth of cannabis on an AirAsia flight from Bangkok to Sri Lanka. That's right, a 32-year-old club dancer was arrested at Bandaranaike Airport for attempting to smuggle cannabis worth 500 million Sri Lankan rupees, or about 61 million baht. Now, his plan was foiled by the police narcotics division, who discovered 5 kilograms of kush hidden in 36 parcels inside his luggage upon arrival from Bangkok on AirAsia flight FD-140. The Police Narcotics Bureau emphasized their commitment to combating such illicit activities, viewing this seizure as a significant victory in their fight against drug trafficking. I know cannabis is legal here in Thailand. It's not legal to transport kilograms of it across international borders. That's just pretty shocking to me. I just feel like cannabis is one of those things where they call it weed for a reason. It grows pretty much everywhere very easily. So it seems like a huge unnecessary risk considering, you know, you got to take a large volume of the cannabis for it to be worth anything in the first place. And then, you know, your risk of getting caught is astronomical. So like he did in this case, the punishment is still not been announced, but I imagine that guy's not going to have a very good time over in Sri Lanka. Joffrey, so anyway, I'll get into the comments at the end. Sorry, I keep forgetting I got to make my own banter. We have more than one comedian in the news, as another comedian is seeking justice after being blamed for an accident by a drunk driver. That's right, Prasert, a 43-year-old Thai comedian known by his stage name Tumang Tertung, is fighting for justice after a drunk driver blamed him for a car accident on a Bangkok road. The incident occurred on March 21st when a 53-year-old woman driving a Mercedes-Benz, who admitted to being intoxicated, collided with plastic barriers, causing them to obstruct traffic. Prasert swerved to avoid the barriers, resulting in a collision with the Mercedes. Despite testing negative for alcohol, Prasert was charged with reckless driving after a former senior soldier reportedly influenced the police to shift the blame onto him. Prasert is now seeking a fair resolution, as he insists that the driver, who was over the legal alcohol limit, admitted her fault, but changed her story following the soldier's intervention. The police and the soldier have not yet clarified their involvement. That sucks. Especially like I've been rear-ended by a drunk driver before, and they come out and try to blame me for it. And especially in the heat of that moment, apparently the woman admitted her intoxication, but then changed her story. It just shows that like driving the Mercedes-Benz there, I think, is one of the key details. This woman comes from a little bit of money, and we know how money and privilege can lead people to think that they can get away with things. things that they shouldn't. So fortunately, this man has been cleared from the charge, but now he wants to sort of correct the incident and get some justice in the situation. So heart goes out to him. All right, on to our next story. For you travel bugs trying to get around Southeast Asia, Cebu Pacific has now launched direct flights from Manila to Dunhuang Airport. So Cebu Pacific is introducing direct flights between Manila's Ninoy Aquino International Airport, Terminal 3, and Bangkok's Dunhuang International Airport, operating thrice weekly on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays, starting mid-July. This expansion increases the airline's Manila-Bangkok services to 17 weekly flights, offering travelers easier access to Thailand's vibrant culture. Now, Xander Lau, President and Chief Commercial Officer, emphasized the importance of Bangkok as a major destination, noting its rich cultural heritage and delectable cuisine. Bangkok has been a key location for Cebu Pacific since 2006, and the airline also operates daily flights from Clark to Bangkok, with a network covering 35 domestic and 24 international destinations. That sounded like just a big advertisement for Cebu Pacific, but anyways, I just love the Philippines, so I think any way that makes it easier to get to alternate destinations, obviously that's going to bring the prices down, right? There's more flights and services available. That's better for consumers. There's going to be more competition for those flights. So good news for anybody who wants to head over to the Philippines anytime soon. All right. I see some fun comments. I'm going to get to those soon. Got some weird ones for you here at the end. The first one comes in the form of some strange cuisine. Not sure what you guys like to put in your mouth, but maybe you'll like this. That's right, a seasonal delicacy has boosted the income in Payao as rain spurs balloon frog craze. Now, the early rainy season in Payao province has sparked a frenzy as the prized local delicacy, balloon frog, or ung pao, becomes available, creating bustling markets and a surge in income for villagers. The frogs, highly sought after for their culinary value, can fetch up to 600 baht per kilogram, especially females with eggs. Their emergence during breeding seasons follows recent showers, has villagers racing to catch them and sell them at morning markets, providing a significant economic boost. Now, priced at 30 to 50 baht per individual, or that 600 baht per kilogram, the frogs are incorporated into various dishes like soup curry, roasted, fried, or grilled, with a preference for females due to those flavorful eggs. Their seasonal appearance offers both a rare culinary delight and a substantial source of income for those locals. So, I like frog. I don't know. It's kind of funny to see the idea that, I'm used to seasonal fruit. Now we got seasonal frogs coming in. The rainy season is spurring them coming out of hiding. But I have not tried the balloon frog yet. Back in China, if you're familiar with Chinese cuisine, Hunan Cai, food from the Hunan province, they very value their precious frog dishes. And I became a big fan. Like little mini chicken wings. So if you're in the area, I recommend going and checking it out. Tech symbol didn't like that one, but fair enough. Now, our last story of the day is taking us sort of to Hollywood. Now, a viral photo star has appeared at the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes premiere in Bangkok. The Thai girl, known for her viral image depicting her aiming an air gun at a monkey, was the guest of honor at the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes movie premiere in Bangkok's Siam Paragon Mall. The girl, identified as Noi, shared her experiences living with monkey troops in Lopburi, central Thailand. In February, a wildlife photographer captured an image of Noi holding the air gun for protection against monkeys, which won an award at the 50th European Wildlife Photographer of the Year competition. Her story resonated with the Planet of the Apes film series, leading the studio to invite her to the gala event. During the interview, Noi highlighted how the local community carries weapons to guard against monkey attacks, emphasizing her air gun as the scariest deterrent. The viral photo and her account brought attention to the difficulties locals face cohabitating with aggressive monkeys and prompted calls for authorities to implement sustainable population control measures. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is now in cinemas across Thailand. That is one of the most iconic images that I can ever see. Honestly, it looks like something that they would have staged for, like, the movies, honestly. The Planet of the Apes movies themselves. Like, this was our Vietnam, and this poor monkey's like, no, and she's got a gun. But, of course, it's not a real gun. It's just an airsoft gun that looks very dangerous. And, yeah. Absolutely necessary. And what's funny about it is that it did lead to real change. The Thai government is trying to implement all sorts of new humanitarian efforts, well, humane efforts, they're not humans yet, humane efforts to make sure that those monkeys have a safe habitat where they're not bothering the local population. So anyways, funny story, good on you, Noi. All right, that'll do it for the Thai section of things. Of course, you can always go to thetiger.com for more updates from around the land of smiles. But that'll do it for GMT today. All right, guys, let's get into the ASEAN news now. I've got three stories from around the ASEAN region for you guys. Hopefully, it captures some interest. We have been, I got to tell you guys, so we've been getting in trouble a little bit. So a lot of the ASEAN news is centered around conflicts, right? Like military conflicts with Myanmar, the drama in the South China Sea, and so on. So apparently, when we post that content on TikTok and especially TikTok, it's a very sensitive platform. So we got to be careful with even the kind of news stories that we cover. But I'm gonna try and make sure we do like at least some serious and hard-hitting news for you guys here on YouTube, because you can handle it. The algorithm handles it here. On to our last final stories of the day. We're going to go over to Singapore first, where a Chinese woman has been charged with murder at a Singapore condominium. Li Ye, a 37-year-old Chinese national, has been charged with the murder of Lim Lai Guan, a 56-year-old, following an incident at Citygate Residences on Beach Road, Singapore. Police discovered Lim unconscious early Wednesday morning after being alerted to the scene. He later died in the hospital. A knife, believed to have been used in the incident, was recovered, and Li was arrested at the scene, appearing via video link in court. Li, who is in remand and not represented by a lawyer, claimed it was manslaughter, not intentional murder. She is held without bail as investigations continue, with a return to court scheduled for May 16th. If convicted of murder, she could face the death penalty. Singapore does not play around with crime and punishment, that's for sure. So, she's admitted to the stabbing. That's something that she will not be able to take back now. However, whether it's murder or manslaughter, more details of the investigation are going to have to come to light. But safe to say, I think she's going to be spending either a lot of time behind bars, her life, or face that ultimate punishment. An interesting thing, the application of the death penalty in Singapore. You should check it out online. There's quite a wide range of crimes that can be punished in that way. In any case, let's move on to some happier news. Now, China and the Philippines are set to host the final Volleyball Challenger Cup in 2024, leading to an expanded VNL. Now, the final editions of the Men's and Women's Volleyball Challenger Cup, or VCC, will be hosted in Linyi, China and Manila, Philippines, from July 4th to 7th, 2024. The competition offers high stakes as teams vie for spots in the revamped Volleyball Nations League, or VNL, set to begin in 2025. The men's VCC will take place in Linyi, featuring China, Mexico, Egypt, and Chile, while the women's VCC in Manila will include the Philippines, Puerto Rico, Kenya, and Argentina. Additional teams will join after qualifying through regional tournaments and global rankings. Kind of interesting to see a complete, you know, restructure of a major sport. Excuse me. This will be the last time that it's under this current iteration, and we'll be relaunching under new branding and, I don't know, new management, I imagine, because, it's one of those things. Volleyball, anybody? I don't really watch it all that much, but it does seem to have a big shallow international appeal, right? Of course, you don't really get diehards like you get with football and other sports, but it's got broad international appeal, so it'll be interesting to see if the rebrand does anything to bring more attention to the sport. All right, and finally, we got some Elon Musk news. SpaceX's Starlink has secured permit to operate in Indonesia, expanding its Southeast Asian presence. Now, SpaceX's satellite unit, Starlink, has obtained a permit to operate in Indonesia, becoming an internet service provider and gaining approval to establish networks after receiving a very small aperture terminal, or VSAT, permit. Communications Minister Budi Ari Setiadi announced the move, which makes Indonesia the third Southeast Asian nation where Starlink will operate, following similar agreements in Malaysia and the Philippines. A trial in Indonesia, Indonesia's new capital, Nusantara, is set for this month, with a week-long trial period before launching fully. The government expects Starlink to help provide internet to Indonesia's remote areas by collaborating with local network providers. SpaceX's Starlink, which controls about 60% of all satellites orbiting Earth, is a leading player in the satellite internet industry. I would argue the leading player if they control 60% of satellites. But no, Starlink is an incredible service, honestly, just because it's ever-present, right? They really do have the ability to provide internet to the world at this point. It's just about getting those licenses and those permissions to operate in certain territories. My mother, well, in the Caribbean, she lives in the Caribbean. They have power outages all the time because they have bad weather all the time. And their internet goes down, but she's got backup. She's got Starlink, and that thing is always working. So, with Elon Musk's companies, there's always a bit of controversy and things like that. But Starlink seems to have a lot of upside. And I'm excited to see what the future holds for, you know, nations that struggle to provide internet access to their rural areas. So this could be a big boon for developing countries. All right. And that'll do it for the ASEAN news. Cool. All right. We made it.
This ad is brought to you by CarZuno, the easiest way to lease a brand new car in Thailand.